The following program is paid for by Absolute Mortgage, a division of Pinnacle Capital Mortgage Corporation. Absolute Mortgage Company, NMLS number 81395, and Washington CL number 81395, is an equal opportunity housing lender. Tina Mitchell, MLO number 145420, is a licensed loan originator with Absolute Mortgage. Visit AbsoluteLoans.com or call 888-90-HOMES for cost information.
You're listening to The Money Hour with your host, Tina Mitchell. Sponsored by Absolute Mortgage, a division of Pinnacle Capital Mortgage Corporation. Now, in the studio, local mortgage and finance expert, Tina Mitchell.
Welcome to the Money Hour at 1150 AM KKNW, the Saturday, February 7th show. I'm your host and mortgage expert, Tina Mitchell. I am committed to providing you knowledge needed to be successful in every arena regarding your finances. Knowledge is power, and that's what you'll receive by listening to my show today and every weekend. If you're hearing my show at a different time or day, you're listening to a rebroadcast, but I'm here to answer any questions or connect you with the guests that I have in studio. Please call into the show at 1-855-400-1150. Again, that's 1-855-400-1150 or online at themoneyhour.com. And my lineup in studio today, Janice Hammond with Sunrise Financial Services, five ways to improve your financial outlook now that we're in 2015. Make 2015 a financial win for you and your family. Also in studio, I have Sandy Tampa with Windermere Bellevue Commons. As a buyer in today's real estate market, it's pretty crazy with the lack of inventory. Being prepared will help you win in today's market, and Sandy's going to share her expertise. So we're going to talk about winning when it comes to financial planning, and we're going to talk about winning when it comes to buying real estate. Great information and great guests in studio. For more information on any of the topics discussed or any questions that you have, please call into the show 1-855-400-1150. Again, that's 1-855-400-1150 or online at themoneyhour.com. Let's go ahead and start out with a little money chat.
Money. Money.
Well, today I thought I'd talk a little bit about credit cards and where to take your credit card complaints. The Consumer Financial Protection Bureau has opened a one-stop complaint center for all credit card-related issues. Until recently, if you had complaints, you had to try working through the credit card companies on your own. And we all know that that's not the easiest task to take on. The Consumer Financial Protection Bureau's sole purpose is to protect the rights of you, the consumer. You can go to consumerfinance.gov and click on Submit a Credit Card Complaint. This will take you to a simple form that asks you to describe what happened in and categorize your complaint from a menu of 30 different items such as billing disputes and credit line increase or decrease. You'll also be able to ask how much money you've lost, if there were any, and when the incident occurred and what you have already done to resolve the problem. Next, you'll be asked to describe the problem and provide a content information. You can expect written confirmation from the CFPB, and it'll forward a complaint to the credit card company. Now, once you've registered your complaint, you can check the status online. If the credit card company doesn't respond in a timely manner and resolve the complaint, the protection from the CFPB, if they receive a number of similar complaints, then they'll likely launch an investigation. So again, it's for your protection and just that backup of a higher power that can help you in a situation that you're not getting information that you want with the credit card companies themselves. This puts some accountability on the actual credit card companies. Now, there are things that the credit card company do not want you to know, so I want to list these for you. First, and number one, they're waiting for you to have a late payment. Despite new credit rules, there are still many factors that can cause a credit card issue to raise your interest rate. Among them is when a lender reviews your credit history and decides to change the terms of your credit card after it's informed that you've missed a payment with another credit card company. So the Credit Card Accountability, Responsibility, and Dispute Act does offer consumer protection. Should your credit card company change the terms on your credit card, in most cases, they can only do this on purchases moving forward, not the balances that you already have. Again, that's on most situations. Prior to the reform, most of the credit card companies would review risk on an average over the last 90 days. Now, second, with the Credit Card Act, companies need to give you at least 45 days in advance notice before making any significant changes to your account, such as increasing the rate or changing any of the fees. Now, if your credit card company is going to make changes on the term of your card, they must give you the option to cancel the card before the changes take effect. So you now have the right to reject any new items. If you do reject the charges, the credit card company can either maintain the account under the existing terms from your previous balance or the closed accounts, or put the responsibility for you paying off the balances under the original terms. Now, the third thing the credit card companies don't want you to know is companies can't increase the interest rate for the first 12 months with some exceptions. Again, there's exceptions to every rule, but such as your adjustable rate, or if there's an introductory rate that has more than 60 days late, so then that would be an exception to that rule. Otherwise, they've got 12 months before that can be increased. Now, four, there are restrictions on over-the-limit transactions. You must opt in, allowing transactions to take you over your limit. So if you don't and they allow your transaction to go through, then the charge that you actually receive, you can dispute that charge. And last, there are caps on credit cards. If your credit card company requires you to pay fees such as an annual fee or an application fees, the fees cannot total more than 25% of the original credit limit. So for an example, if your initial credit limit is $500, the fees for the first year can't exceed $125. So there's tips on everything. That's why I love doing this show so much and why it's called the Money Hour, because there's a lot of aspects when it comes to your money. Credit card, I've got two experts in here talking about your financial freedom, also in the real estate arena. I do mortgages. There's so much information, and to be able to share that with you just an hour a week, there's just not enough time. So I highly encourage to take advantage of the show and the experts that I bring into studio. Any questions that you have, any topics that you want me to bring into studio, or experts that you'd like to hear from, please put in your request. You can give the show a call at 1-855-400-1150 or online at themoneyhour.com. And going online, you can actually search for anything that you're interested in getting information on. The years that I've done the show, most likely I've probably had that conversation in studio. So we do stream and podcast all of our shows. And just a shout out, being that, again, I do mortgages for a living, the interest rates were at an all-time low. If you look at the history of the interest rates for the last 2 years, we've hit an all-time low. Why this keeps happening, all experts, including myself, can't give you an answer. I mean, it's just crazy in what's happening with these interest rates. Take advantage of the market. Any of you that are listening, they're on an FHA loan, have purchased a home on an FHA loan. If you have not talked with your mortgage consultant, if you don't have a trusted advisor that you can go to, call me again. That's what I do. You want to look at refinancing. The mortgage insurance has dropped substantially on FHA loans. Now, not only is the mortgage insurance dropped, but the interest rates have dropped as well. So that combination is just a huge savings that you can see. Now, if you've been approved on an FHA loan and you're out there kind of on the fence and haven't found a property yet, you need to get in contact with your mortgage consultant, because depending on how much you're borrowing, you've just got an increase in buying power, anywhere from $20,000 to $50,000. If you're buying a $500,000 home, you're going to be close to that $50,000. If you're buying in the $300,000 range, maybe you've got a $20,000-$25,000 increase. So because of the monthly payment savings, I always like to calculate that into buying power, because really that's what it's all about. You've got a raise in your buying power. So you need to connect with your lender and see how the combination of the lower mortgage insurance and the interest rates have affected you. Huge benefits. Again, just call into the show, 1-855-400-1150, with any needs that you have. And coming up next on the Money Hour, how do you improve your financial outlook? What are the smartest things that you should be doing to protect your family? Janice Hammond with Sunrise Financial Services, right here on 1150 AM KKNW, after the short break.
We'll be right back. Mortgage fraud has been rampant since 2007. Many folks don't know they have legal rights. Find out if your mortgage loan has wrongdoings and fraud. Magnum Law Group will do a free audit of your loan documents. Facing foreclosure? Need to stop a foreclosure sale? Magnum Law Group can help. We have experts with valuable knowledge, and we get results. Have you decided to short sale your property instead of a foreclosure? Magnum Law Group has the experience to negotiate better and faster for you.
Hi, this is Deborah with Magnum Law Group. Please contact us at 425-454-4300. You can visit our website at www.magnumlawgroup.com or call us at 425-454-4300.
This is the story of Daniel, who was born 2 months early. He weighed 1 pound, 7 ounces. His lungs weren't ready. His heart wasn't ready. His brain wasn't ready. At the hospital, the nurses said Daniel was a fighter, and they would do all they could to help him. The doctor said even with the best care, Daniel may never walk. He may never see. He may never learn. Daniel's parents spent night after night at the hospital, watching his every breath, holding his tiny hands, and looking for signs that he was growing stronger. At home, his parents looked around Daniel's empty nursery, at the quiet toys and the still rocker, and they hoped that one day they could sit in that rocking chair and tell this story to their very healthy son. Daniel's is just one of the more than 500,000 stories of babies born prematurely last year, but there's hope for a happy ending. The March of Dimes is funding the research and programs to stop premature birth. You can help bring more babies home healthy. Learn how at marchofdimes.com. Working together for stronger, healthier babies.
The thought of my sons growing up without me inspired me to quit smoking.
I talked to my doctors, and then I threw away all my cigarettes, ashtrays, and lighters.
I started exercising instead of smoking.
Getting support from friends online kept me on track.
Staying away from alcohol when I was first quitting was key.
Instead of smoking after I ate, I'd get up and take a walk.
I missed having a cigarette in my hand, so I'd hold a pen or a straw, anything.
Until I knew I wouldn't give in to temptation, I spent more time with my friends who didn't smoke.
I went to places that were smoke-free.
I didn't stay quit the very first time I tried.
I kept on trying, and I learned something each time.
Do whatever it takes.
No matter how many times it takes.
I quit.
I quit.
I quit.
We did it, so can you.
You can quit. For free help, call 1-800-QUIT-NOW. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and CDC.
Every day, more than 1.4 million American lives are disrupted by Crohn's disease or ulcerative colitis. This year alone, 70,000 new cases will be diagnosed, and more of those are children. Nearly 75% of patients with Crohn's disease will require one or more surgeries at some point in their lives. Those are the facts. But they don't speak to the daily realities of living with Crohn's or colitis. Excruciating pain, a lifetime of medication, and days when they can't even get out of bed. There's a good chance you know someone suffering with Crohn's or colitis. Someone like me. I'm Amy Brenneman, and I'm asking you to support the Crohn's and Colitis Foundation of America. CCFA was created to help millions of us cope and to find cures. Visit ccfa.org today to learn more, donate, or join an event. It's time to face the facts and reach out to help someone you know at ccfa.org.
This is the Money Hour with your host, Tina Mitchell, on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. Now, back to the show with local mortgage and finance expert, Tina Mitchell.
Welcome back to the Money Hour with your host and mortgage expert, Tina Mitchell, right here on 1150 AM KKNW, the Saturday, February 7th show. I provide you news on everything money, fresh information on market trends and conditions that are happening in our local economy. If you're hearing my show at a different time or day, you're listening to a rebroadcast, but you can always call into the show, 1-855-411-1150. Again, that's 1-855-411-1150 or online at themoneyhour.com. In studio right now, Janice Hammond with Sunrise Financial Services. Services, regular contributor to my show, and really is here to help our listeners with your financial outlook for 2015. Today, we're going to be talking about being financially smart and how to improve your financial outcome this year. Janice, thank you so much for coming back in studio.
Sure. Good to see you.
And a little background about Janice. Janice recognized the need for a more conservative approach in investing and strives to outpace inflation and her firm that caters to the unique needs of each individual. So after 10 years in the financial industry, Janice opened her doors of Sunrise Financial Services in order to help people avoid common mistakes when planning for retirement. And I have to say, out of all the financial planners that I've been around in my 20 years in the mortgage industry, I've never seen a firm that treats their clients so much like a family, so much for it, so that I refer my family to you. My mom is a personal client of yours, and I appreciate all that you do for her and taking care of the referrals and introductions that I have for your firm. And so thank you again, Janice.
Yeah, no problem.
So let's get into it. We're going to talk about the five ways to improve your financial outlook for 2015. And since the new year is upon us, it's only fit that we talk about the new year resolutions, and a lot make them, and about 50% of Americans, they are usually related to being fit, losing weight, quit smoking, or eating healthier. And how about New Year resolutions for a financial life?
Well, I believe, and maybe I'm just a bit biased, but financial New Year's resolutions are important too. If we don't set goals, then we never really work toward them. And you mentioned about 50% of Americans make New Year's resolutions, but according to a survey done by the University of Scranton, only about 8% keep them.
That's a really low number, Janice. That tells me that it's important to be motivated and to set goals, and realistic ones and ones that are maintainable, correct?
Exactly.
So let's jump right into, because we are always seem to be running out of time and it's important information, what is the New Year's resolution people should have on the top of their list for 2015?
So I would say definitely start saving for retirement. Whether you're 5 or 50, now is definitely the best time to start. And if your employer has a plan you can contribute to, such as an IRA or a 401k, this is a good way to get started. And you should start with an amount that you know you can maintain and then increase it gradually as you're able to do that. Ideally, you want to contribute the maximum amount possible each year, especially if the employer is matching.
So, Janice, what is the maximum that someone can contribute to their retirement accounts for the year?
Well, this will vary just depending on the type of plan you have. But for example, not including your company plan that you contribute to, you can now contribute $5,500 to your IRA if you're younger than 49. Mm-hmm. Or if you're over 50, you can contribute $6,500.
So what about for my listeners that don't have an employer plan available? What are some suggestions that you have for them in savings?
Well, if you don't have an employer plan available to you, like many people don't, you can always start by just using your plain old savings account. And I encourage people to set up an auto draft, not just say, I'm going to save at the end of the month when I have something left over. Mm-hmm. Include it as part of your bills and your expenses. And just set up an auto draft for the day after payday. So it's smart to incorporate that amount into your budget every month. And then once your account grows to a comfortable amount, invest it in something that will put your money to work for you.
Makes total sense. So what about a general minimum amount required for investing?
Well, it really depends on the company and the investment, but as a general rule, I'd say $5,000 is a good amount to get started. However, with that being said, the more money you have in your account, the less fees will eat away at any gains that you make. My firm provides complimentary 30-minute consultations, so feel free to call our office if you're looking to get started, and we will be happy to get you on your way. 206-420-8520.
And when you come into our office, you'll smell chocolate chip cookies.
I know.
It's so homey. And she actually goes out of the office as well. And so for some of her clientele, if they're not in a position to be able to come in, and it's convenient. So definitely caters to her clients. So I highly recommend that you take advantage of the free consultation, whether you're getting started or just have a second opinion. And that's what's great also about your firm, Janice, is just that your team sits down and you'll go through all of their paperwork and everything that they have and help them make a decision on whether everything's in the right places and good, or there's some things that they can be adjusting around, whether it's utilizing your services or just helping them to ask the questions they need to with who manages their services right now. So
yeah,
it's awesome. So let's go ahead and move on to the second New Year's resolution.
The second one is don't waste money on interest or high late fees. So if you're trying to save, but you're paying your bills late or you're paying high credit card interest rates, then you're fighting a challenging uphill battle. So make it a goal to pay off credit card debt every month and to pay your bills on time. The credit card is meant to be a tool, not an endless amount of money that you can spend. So if not used properly, you can easily find yourself in a debt prison.
Yeah, debt can really affect the lifestyle that you live. And I know that debt is a big factor in how we calculate the amount of money that we lend to potential home buyers. So Janice, I know debt can affect the lifestyle that you live. It also is a big factor when it comes to qualifying for anything and mortgage loans. And what I like to go through my clients, especially when I talked earlier about buying power, I mean, it really is about getting out there and purchasing with buying power. The more that you can increase that in this market, the better chance you're going to have to get into the right home for your family, right school districts. And when we talk with Sandy, we're going to talk about short inventory, which adds another challenge. But if you look at that debt that you're spending, even eliminating maybe $80 a month can be $10,000, $15,000 more in buying power.
What are they using anyway on for minimum payment? Do they just use the minimum payment on the credit report or do they use a factor?
That's a really good question. It is a minimum payment. So a lot of people think if they have open credit cards that they're not using, there's going to be some type of payment that they're going to use on that, which they don't. And that's a myth out there because I've had clients that have closed accounts out thinking there's going to be a minimum payment even though they're not using it, they don't have a balance. Once they close those accounts out, especially if they have more than a two-year history, can be devastating for your credit score, and you can't improve it because now you've lost that history of the account that you can't reestablish again. So it's minimum payment, whatever shows up on the report. Regardless if you're making a $200 payment, if it's $25, that's going to be used against you. And that's about $5,000, $2,500 in buying power.
Okay. So another thing that people don't really think about is when you are paying your bills late, it can cut into your savings. If you pay your Comcast bill late, then you've got they charge an $8 late fee. Mm-hmm. And if you're doing that every single month, just on regular rotation, that's about $100 a year. And, if you could be saving that $100 a year, that's obviously a lot better.
So many companies do have the auto reminder that can send a via email or a text to remind you when your bill is due. And I find these reminders helpful, especially when bills are due around the middle of the month rather than beginning or end when we're used to paying majority of our bills.
Yeah, I love that. And you can also set reminders into the calendar on your phone. Many of us have these smartphones that have the capability to remember these things for us. So use them. Even post-it notes or a desktop calendar to remind you. And I'm a big fan of just putting everything on auto pay.
Yeah. You know, it's funny you mentioned desktop sticky notes on a calendar. I just actually realized I'm a tech person and I have a software company and I just realized that there's sticky notes instead of the old fashioned sticky notes on the computer. So yeah, technology is awesome and definitely take advantage of it to make sure things are getting done as they need to. So we use post-it notes like crazy at the office. Again, just finding out that it's on the computer made it a little bit more easy. But although I haven't had quite figured out how to use the smartphone completely yet, I'm totally dependent on my husband to keep everything all organized. So time's flying by, so let's go ahead and talk about number three, our financial New Year resolution on the list, Janice.
So number three is update your trusts or wills or estate documents, and you should do this at least every 3 to 5 years, and especially if there's been major life changes that have taken place, like births, deaths, marriages, divorces. I've heard some real horror stories about unexpected deaths and 10-year-old wills and trusts, and, they just don't hold up.
So it's a great resolution, and if you have an outdated will or trust, having an updated one will save you time, money, and more importantly, family headache, which, again, finances really have an impact on your family and the whole outcome, so being prepared is important.
Everybody thinks their family is not going to be like that, but when you get money involved, emotions run high. Especially with all the blended families that we have now, it's more important than ever. If you have specific wishes about where you would like your assets to go, be sure to update your estate documents regularly, speak with your estate planning attorney, and if you don't have one, we have a couple we can recommend. So just give our office a call at 206-420-8520 and we'll get you their information.
Yeah, definitely, Janice. I'm sure the listeners appreciate the recommendation. This is something that not everybody really thinks about, so I'm glad that you brought it to their attention because I'm sure this doesn't cross many people's mind on a regular basis.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Even if you are young and have an uncomplicated estate, people need to know how to handle your assets when you pass. And there are easy programs out there that can help you get started, such as Quicken, Willmaker, or Susie Orman's Will and Trust Kit. But if you own multiple properties and you have large amounts of assets, you will probably want to involve an estate planning attorney.
Definitely want to make sure that your money's going to the right people and to the places that you want it to, without a doubt. So to all my listeners out there, be sure to add this to your list. Update your estate documents every, 3 to 5 years?
Yeah, definitely. So let's talk about the fourth financial New Year's resolution. So the fourth New Year's resolution I'm suggesting to add to your list is plan for protection. There are many financial tools out there designed to help maintain or grow your current assets and the legacy you leave to your family, such as life insurance, disability insurance, long-term care insurance. You just want to make sure that you're protected for the expected and the unexpected.
Yeah, it's probably at the back of everybody's mind, but it's something that seems that, you know, you definitely want to have on the top of your list, right?
Mm-hmm, definitely. And that's exactly why it's on our list today. So everyone knows they should have it, but not very many people do. Long-term care solutions alone can keep your assets intact in case of a health care scare. And then just regular health care and long-term care expenses, I mean, they can wipe out any legacy you plan on leaving, and costs are on the rise now.
So, Janice, what would you say is a suitable amount of insurance that my listeners should have?
You know I say this all the time, but it really does depend on your unique situation.
Mm-hmm.
Having adequate amounts of life, disability, or long-term care insurance depends on many different factors, and you have to sit down and consult a professional. And most importantly, make sure that you trust the person, because I've seen so many people get recommendations for insurance that they really just do not need, and they're making a monthly payment on it, and they're never going to get that money back. So our firm handles, as well as many other investments, money managers, stocks, bonds, that kind of thing, but our firm does handle both life and long-term care insurance. Unfortunately, we don't currently write disability insurance, but I definitely have people that I can recommend in your area who can.
So, Janice, I think there's a lot of families that just, they're one small disaster away from being in a really bad situation. And unexpected death or lost-term care cost can have a small disaster if they're not taking the right steps to prepare for it.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And this is another area I've heard many horror stories about. There are many options for families that can help ease the burden of emergency situations or unexpected deaths, long-term care costs. And I, again, recommend people come in and take advantage of our free 30-minute consultations.
So again, to get a hold of Janice, you can call into the show at 1-855-411-50 or go online at themoneyhour.com. And I encourage you to actually search her on the website. I've had her in studio many times way back from the days with my first show into my second one and now the third one. So she's been with me for quite a while and is a trusted resource for me and for my listeners in this arena. So listen to her previous segments. You can call her directly at 206-420-8520. Janice, thank you again for coming into studio and congratulations on the little one.
Oh, thanks. Yeah,
so excited for you. Coming up next on The Money Hour, a situation in which demand exceeds supply is today's real estate market. And you want to prepare if you're going to be entering into it to make sure that you're maximizing your opportunity in the real estate arena. Sandy Tampa with Windermere Bellevue Commons right here on 1150 AM KKNW after this short break.
Mortgage fraud has been rampant since 2007. Many folks don't know they have legal rights. Find out if your mortgage loan has wrongdoings and fraud. Magnum Law Group will do a free audit of your loan documents. Facing foreclosure? Need to stop a foreclosure sale? Magnum Law Group can help. We have experts with valuable knowledge and we get results. Have you decided to short sale your property instead of a foreclosure? Magnum Law Group has the experience to negotiate better and faster for you.
Hi, this is Deborah with Magnum Law Group. Please contact us at 425-454-4300. You can visit our website at www.magnumlawgroup.com. magnumlawgroup.com or call us at 425-454-4300.
Ranger Station, Ranger speaking.
Hi, I'd like to report a bear hug.
Okay.
Well, before I left my campsite, I was putting out my fire, and out of nowhere, Smokey Bear showed up and hugged me?
So you drowned the fire, you stirred it, drowned it again, and felt that it was cold?
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah. He likes it when people correctly put out their campfires. He's pretty big on wildfire prevention. He's just letting you know you did good. With a hug. He's a hugger.
I just got a bear hug from Smokey Bear. Status update!
All right, I'm gonna let you go now. I've got a lot of ranger stuff to do. There are many ways to start a fire, but one sure way to put it out. Learn how you can do your part at SmokeyBear.com.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Sponsored by the U.S. Forest Service Ad Council and your state forester.
Every day, more than 1.4 million American lives are disrupted by Crohn's disease or ulcerative colitis. This year alone, 70,000 new cases will be diagnosed, and more of those are children. Nearly 75% of patients with Crohn's disease will require one or more surgeries at some point in their lives. Those are the facts, but they don't speak to the daily realities of living with Crohn's or colitis. Excruciating pain, a lifetime of medication, and days when they can't even get out of bed. There's a good chance you know someone suffering with Crohn's or colitis. Someone like me. I'm Amy Brenneman, and I'm asking you to support the Crohn's and Colitis Foundation of America. CCFA was created to help millions of us cope and to find cures. Visit ccfa.org today to learn more, donate, or join an event. It's time to face the facts and reach out to help someone you know at ccfa.org.
The thought of my sons growing up without me inspired me to quit smoking.
I talked to my doctors, and then I threw away all my cigarettes, ashtrays, and lighters.
I started exercising instead of smoking.
Getting support from friends online kept me on track.
Staying away from alcohol when I was first quitting was key.
Instead of smoking after I ate, I'd get up and take a walk.
I missed having a cigarette in my hand, so I'd hold a pen or a straw, anything.
Until I knew I wouldn't give in to temptation, I spent more time with my friends who didn't smoke.
I went to places that were smoke-free.
I didn't stay quit the very first time I tried.
I kept on trying, and I learned something each time.
Do whatever it takes.
No matter how many times it takes.
I quit.
I quit.
I quit.
We did it, so can you.
You can quit. For free help, call 1-800-QUIT-NOW. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and CDC.
This is the Money Hour with your host, Tina Mitchell, on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. Now, back to the show with local mortgage and finance expert, Tina Mitchell.
Welcome back to the Money Hour with your host and mortgage expert, Tina Mitchell, right here on 1150 AM KKNW, the Saturday, February 7th show, bringing in expert advice and inside knowledge on today's events and how it affects you in our local economy. If you're hearing my show at a different time or day, you're listening to a rebroadcast, you can talk with any of the guests that I have in studio by calling to the show 1-855-400-1150 or online at themoneyhour.com. In studio right now, Sandy Tampa with Windermere Bellevue Commons. How buyers should be navigating through today's real estate market. Sandy, excited to have you back in studio. Thank you so much for joining me and talking with my listeners.
Happy to be here. Thanks, Tina, for having me.
And there's a lot of things that are going on in the real estate market, and I know that you work with both buyers and sellers, but thought it would be a good conversation just to have and focus really on the buyers today.
Right.
And before we do that, I want to give you a little background about Sandy. She's with Windermere Bellevue Commons. A skilled veteran with 10 years of residential real estate experience. She is based out of Bellevue and primarily focuses on the east side. Sandy is highly accredited managing broker. Her credentials include accredited buyer's representative, certified residential specialist, and master certified negotiation expert. What does this all mean? It means that she's dedicated to being the best that she can be to serve you and your referrals on the highest level and professionalism and skill possible. Sandy specializes in applying her local expertise and market knowledge to her business. Experienced negotiation and cutting-edge marketing strategies combined with the uncompromising integrity as a trademark of Sandy Services, and Sandy has worked with every facet of the industry representing sellers, buyers, and investors. And that's why, because of your bio, is why I have you in studio. And I'm just so excited to have your opinion and advice that you can share with all of my buyers that are listening to the show. And I do want to say, if you are a seller, it doesn't mean to turn the channel, because if you're selling your property, you need to know what the buyers are learning so you can strategize and compete on that end of it, right?
Absolutely. And you might be doing the move-up buy where you're selling your home for your next purchase.
There you go. So let's go ahead and start out with the first step in lending and determining a price point. What do you tell your buyers about their price point, Sandy?
Absolutely. So the first step, absolutely, is figuring out that price point.
Mm-hmm.
Because often people will jump in at a higher price point than what is realistic for them. And nothing is more difficult than dialing that price point down and looking at houses in a lower price point. It's a bitter pill to swallow. So what I advise my clients is you live in the payment, not mm-hmm. in the price.
Yes.
So it should have everything to do with that budgeted amount that you can spend per month, factoring in both principal, interest,
mm-hmm.
taxes, which estimating taxes about 1.25%. What do you use, Tuna?
Yeah, that's close to what I use.
And then hazard insurance mm-hmm. for what would you say, about 800-ish?
Yeah, anywhere from 400 to 800, depending on the price point.
Mm-hmm. And then if you're going to be in a situation where you might be paying homeowner's dues mm-hmm. or different utilities than what you're paying now, if you're a renter and you're going to be paying water, garbage, sewer that you might not be paying. So look at that holistic, what is my monthly outlay going to be and what can you afford?
Mm-hmm.
Then combine that with what your down payment is, and then speak to a lender.
Yes.
Bring those two items. Because often you can get, what my experience is, buyers can get qualified for more than they might be comfortable affording.
And, you know, that's so true, Sandy, because I, you know, and even in the lending crisis, when things were backing out on the lending side, they've always lent to a high debt-to-income ratio. I mean, if you think about it, 45% of your gross monthly income, that's a lot. And that's what lenders are lending to. So I love your advice. I start out with the buyers is asking them is, you know, what's your target price? Okay, your target price is $400,000. That's good. What's your payment objective? Okay, your payment objective is $2,000. I know that you're going to approve for $2,700 because usually that's how the ratios is. $400, $2,000, approved for $2,700.
Gotcha.
Now that $400,000 price might be a payment closer to $2,200. So either we're going to have to adjust what your objective is in a payment by figuring out how to adjust your monthly outgoing and how you're doing with your budgeting, or just understanding the difference between a lot of buyers might be first-time home buyers and understanding the benefits that they receive as a first-time home buyer.
Right.
Or as a homeowner versus a renter. So just analyzing and going through those numbers. Get set up for the maximum, but really dial into the payment. And I like how you mentioned everything in the payment. It's not just principal, interest, taxes, and insurance, but it's everything else that might go into there as well. So in laying that all out.
Exactly. And another tool is if you aren't going to be buying for a few months, mm-hmm. practicing that shock payment, the difference between what your monthly outlay is now and what it might be. Because you might be able to afford more than you think you can if you just sock that money away where you can't see it and see what it feels like.
That's a really good suggestion. And also when you go back to your budgeting and you really look, because a lot of people don't really pay attention to what they're spending. And we can use an example that a lot of people do in our area right here is coffee. You know, so if you stop by Starbucks on your way to work every morning, 5 days a week, there's $80 a month. So that's an extra $10,000, $15,000, maybe $20,000 in buying power. So yeah, look at the numbers, and I like the shock payment. Let's see what you can give up and see if it makes sense. So what about the pocket expenses or out-of-pocket expenses that they're going to have in the buying process? How do you coach and prepare them for that?
Absolutely. So the very first check that a buyer is going to be writing is going to be their earnest money.
Mm-hmm.
And earnest money is your deposit, is okay. another way to think of it. So it's going to come to you as a credit at closing, or refunded if you terminate the agreement under your contingencies.
Uh-huh.
If you default, you will lose your earnest money, and that's a whole nother conversation and pretty rare, but you need to be aware of it. And in the east side, 1% to 3% is industry standard. So this is going to be a substantial check. And it's a great way to make your – this is always your money. It will get refunded to you if you walk because of inspection mm-hmm. or you can't get financing, or it comes to you as a credit at closing. So it's not an expense. It's an upfront payment. And the larger you can do that, the stronger your buyer's your offer is going to be. So if you can get closer to that 3%,
sure.
by all means do.
And it, you know, and that makes total sense, Sandy. And it's really in this market, being able to come in with a higher offer or a better offer in these small things just by increasing your earnest money. It's not costing you anymore. It's going to go towards your loan. So by listening to your expert, which is your realtor, on how to strategize and put that offer together. So let's talk about that, Sandy, about a buyer's agent. So, Sandy, let's get into that. I know what you do as a buyer's agent, and I know in your arena, there's a small percentage that really are the best at what they do. And so finding that is the first key thing. But understanding, what does it take and what are you doing to help buyers as a buyer's agent?
Well, bottom line, this is in the core of what your program is. Knowledge is power.
Yes.
And so I am here to not only advocate for you, but to educate you as a buyer, so that you can make the best decisions for your situation. Sometimes people think our values in sending listings. Most tech-savvy buyers have access to the MLS data through
yes.
any of the majors. They sweep the MLS every 15 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And if they're in front of a computer, they're going to often see a listing before me. But it's that when I show them the home and help them, their telltale signs I see from the moment I walk up and open that key box, that if there are two keys to unlock the front door, I'm always going to think, okay, the seller is probably cutting corners somewhere. And I'm going to be on that. Yes.
Interesting.
Always. And so I'm always just going to be, I have this eye of looking out for things that show that this house is well cared for,
wow.
or maybe there's a lot of shortcuts that we need to be careful what else we might find. I mean, we always get an inspection, so that's the true acid
sure.
test, but they're usually signs. And also, not falling in love with the staging. I
uh-huh.
just recently was showing a home that was flipped, and it was a great home, very small spaces, very smartly staged,
uh-huh.
and it looked very livable. And I had to pull my client back and say, okay, where would your TV go? And they were like, over there. And I was like, okay, so how about the couch? And it just wasn't working. We could not find a single place where you could have a usable, functional space.
And you don't know that unless you're in and out of houses and helping buyers through this process as much as you are. Because if you think about it as a buyer, you're going to do this once, twice, maybe three times in your life. And so understanding how that seller is strategizing to make the house most appealing is so important. And I always tell my clients as well, for on the real estate side, whether it's on the buyer side or the seller side, a lot of work starts, and a lot of that hard, detailed work happens once the offer has actually been accepted.
Oh, absolutely.
And then you, as the buyer's agent, you think, well, now the house is accepted. There, they've done their job. But really, the hard work is during that contract stage.
Right. I make an analogy. I mean, sometimes getting under contract absolutely is hard, especially
uh-huh.
in this
of course.
Climate. If you lose a few and then you finally win one.
Uh-huh.
But still getting under contracts, like getting to first base.
Yes.
You've got to get all the way home.
Yeah.
And it can be tricky, through whether it's getting through the inspection process,
mm-hmm.
the appraisal process. If you buy a condo, understanding that resale certificate
yep.
and doing your due diligence on the complex, really just navigating those waters, computation of time. And one other thing that we didn't get to that your buyer's agent's going to do for you, it's going to be negotiate.
Yes.
And negotiate all of those items to be your advocate, know what you want.
Yep. And I always say, too, in this market with the lack of inventory, when that realtor that's representing the seller is looking at those multiple offer scenarios, because a lot of you that are purchasing and in the market, you're going to be in a multiple offer scenario, that agent that represents you as a buyer can make or break that experience with their reputation alone in the industry.
Absolutely.
Is that correct?
Absolutely.
So let's talk about how you are paid as a buyer's agent. Can you break that down for my listeners?
Yes, that's, I think most people think they know, and it's not that complicated, but just as a refresher that there's no cost to a buyer to have a buyer's agent.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it is technically factored into the price, but it's paid through seller's net proceeds. So the seller pays it upon closing, and it's going to be a percentage of the sale price that's predetermined between the listing agent and the seller.
Okay, so nothing out of the buyer's pocket.
Nothing out of the buyer's pocket.
All going to be paid by the seller. Now, for you as sellers, you are paying all of that commission, but if you're buying another home, you're not going to pay commission on that side. You have to kind of remind sometimes. You are going to pay it all as a seller, but if you're buying, you're not paying it as a buyer. So could you share your buyer, the three elements of real estate with my listeners?
This is one of my, so when I sit down with a new buyer and we go through the buyer process, often we want to jump to the search. That's the most tangible part, the most fun part. Let's get on the MLS. Let's start driving around. But this is actually the third piece that I talk about. And I always start with it's a simple explanation, but I have had clients recite it to me years later.
Mm-hmm.
There are three elements. There's price, location, and type of home.
Okay.
Typically, price is fixed. People are typically buying up to the most that they can afford. We live in a fairly expensive area. And so then it's going to be that trade-off between location, maybe drive time to work, and type of home. And so if you, for instance, if you say, I want to be under $500,000 and I want to be in Bellevue, well, in a single family home, the market's going to tell you that you're probably going to get closer to a fixer or a smaller home.
So they really need to get realistic what's important to them. You've always got a wish list, and a wish list is great, but you've got to decide what you're willing to give up or not give up. And on the commute side, if somebody really wants to have that really nice house and there is that commute, do you advise them to get real with what that commute's going to be and try it out and make sure that they're not making,
Yes, because traffic's just getting worse and worse. But, often sometimes people, especially if there's a family and one person's working, that maybe that drive is worth the commute to allow the kids to grow up in that school district.
Makes sense.
So it's a very, very personal decision.
Yeah. So what about the critical conversations that you have with buyers? What are those?
So what I call my critical conversations are conversations that are critical to have before you write an offer. So when you write an offer, stress is high, especially if it's a multiple offer situation. And it's best if we can have some of these issues that come up talked about prior to. So a very simple one is if you're buying an older home, older than 1978, there's going to be a lead-based paint addendum where the seller in all likelihood is going to say they have no knowledge or no report of lead-based paint. You as a buyer, you need to decide whether you want to waive the opportunity to do a lead-based paint risk assessment or accept the opportunity. And it's
How do you make that decision?
Well, exactly. So there's a great pamphlet on the matter.
Okay.
And then it's a personal decision. And I'm a chemical engineer by degree, so I have very strong opinions about lead.
Okay.
But, it's going to vary family to family. But if
you
can think that through and prior to writing an offer.
Yeah.
Another thing that's really easy is washer, dryer, and fridge. Sometimes in the heat of the moment, you get caught up on those items without really knowing what they cost.
Uh-huh.
So if you can have that in your back pocket, those are simple ones. The more complicated ones is partnering with your mortgage specialist. So where you could offer advice, Tina, on maybe you waive appraisal, maybe you waive financing. There's risks that you might be comfortable in taking depending on your situation. But having those conversations beforehand, so you have kind of this bag of tricks that you can pull out depending on the house and depending on what you want.
And that's it. That's so great, Sandy. And you do need to be prepared, as you said earlier, because of this environment. When that house comes on the market, you've got to be ready to run. So you want to make sure that you've thought all this out. And I just love that you're going through these things with your buyers way in advance so they're prepared. So let's talk about waiving things or tricks that you're helping them to have when they're going into these multiple offer scenarios, because I know that you're winning a lot for your clients in the multiple offer scenarios. So what are you doing? How are you making this happen?
Well, the first thing you need to start with, too, is making sure you keep a cool head. Because okay. You don't want to get caught up in winning. Because sometimes someone might be willing to pay more than what you're willing to pay for the house, mm-hmm. and that's okay. But also making sure that you know, that you understand that, okay, $10,000 more translates to this much money per yes. month. So having a good understanding of that and having your walkaway point.
Okay.
Another one is having non-refundable earnest money. So if there is an inspection contingency, and often in multiple offers, you do pre-inspections, but you could have the earnest money be released after a certain contingency.
Okay.
And that means that money is no longer yours. You're prepaying that to the uh-huh. seller. And again, it's not going to be added money. This is money you're committed to the contract. And when you close, this was money you would have had to pay anyway.
Exactly.
So it doesn't cost you anything, but there's risk associated with it, and understanding that risk before you make that decision.
Makes total sense. Let's talk about the seller disclosure statement.
Oh, okay. So that is part of the due diligence that, you know, when you're a buyer, you have responsibility to do your due diligence on that home. And the first piece of information or intelligence you're going to get on that home is something called a seller disclosure statement. Mm-hmm. We refer to it sometimes as the Form 17. And it's a 5-page document that's trying to smoke out any kind of material defects. It's going to okay. ask if the roof ever leaked, has the basement ever flooded, has there been a rodent issue, and that sort of thing. So that's going to be your first piece of due diligence that you have the responsibility to read and understand.
Got it. Okay. And I've been hearing a lot about the inspection sewer scope. What is that?
Right. So that also falls under the category of out-of-pocket expenses.
Okay.
So shortly after mutual acceptance, usually within a week, you're going to be experiencing an expense for an inspection that's going to run about $450 to $500. You can find it for cheaper, but it's somewhere I don't think you should scrimp. And so this inspection is just the structural inspection. Mm-hmm. Then based on if the house has topography that is a lot of steep slopes and that sort of thing, or if there are a lot of trees, or if the house is older than 40 years old, you might want to do a sewer scope. And
okay.
so, and that's a $250 expense, and that's where you have a plumber or a company that specializes in it. They're actually going to take a camera down the sewer line and take you all the way to the street.
Wow.
And, right. And what we're looking for is we want a clear line, but you often find tree roots in the line. You can find in neighborhoods like Somerset, Madrona, where you do have a lot of steep topography,
uh-huh.
that the sewer lines actually come like disconnected, and so it shifted.
Wow.
And that's important information that you want to know.
Because that can be, what kind of cost are they looking at if they don't prepare ahead of time and put some initial money up to find this out? What can that cost them?
Thousands of dollars.
Yeah,
that, wow. My highest one was in Madrona and was about $8,000 to $10,000.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
So you need to think about it, and you need to be serious and understand the initial cost going in. That's why it's so important to have an expert realtor on your side, because you don't want to be making mistakes, because it's costly. So get in there, get your offer accepted, and you do that with an established agent that can walk you through that process. And Sandy, thank you so much for coming into studio and sharing your advice with any of the buyers out there. Any final tip that you have on for a buyer?
Well, I guess instead of a tip, maybe I'm cautiously optimistic we're going to get a little more inventory. So traditionally,
well, that's good news to hear. Okay.
Traditionally, the Super Bowl is the kickoff of the real estate season. My old manager used to say that. And the reason being is January 1, buyers want to buy, sellers want to sell.
Yes.
Buyers can jump in the car and start looking at houses. Sellers have about 4 to 6 weeks ahead of them before they can get their house on the market.
Good
so
point.
I'm cautiously optimistic. And our market is very, very traditional, very predictable, where January is always low,
yep.
and they're going to start coming back on the market. So
yeah, well, exciting to see. Yeah, exciting to see some more inventory. Yeah, definitely don't be afraid. You don't want to miss out on the opportunity, because it's a huge opportunity with the cost to borrow money, and you'll find your house. It just may take you a little while, and you just want to be strategic and do it the right way, and that's having the right representation. So, Sandy, again, thank you so much for coming into studio. Really appreciate it.
Thanks, Tina.
And this is your host and mortgage expert, Tina Mitchell, signing off for the day. Everybody enjoy the rest of their Saturday and Sunday, the rest of your weekend. Look forward to talking with you next weekend right here at 1150 AM at KKNW.
preceding program is paid for by Absolute Mortgage, a division of Pinnacle Capital Mortgage Corporation. Absolute Mortgage Company, NMLS number 81395, and Washington CL number 81395, is an equal opportunity housing lender. Tina Mitchell, MLO number 145420, is a licensed loan originator with Absolute Mortgage. Visit AbsoluteLoans.com or call 888-90-HOMES for cost information.